As the year comes to a close, we take a look back at some of the big events that occurred on the African continent. The year kicked off to a celebratory start in Liberia, where former football star George Weah was sworn in as the country's 25th president. Here he is speaking at his inauguration ceremony.
We have arrived here on the blood, sweat, tears, the suffering of so many of our citizens, too many of whom died, longing for real freedom and equality. Today, we must remember the hundreds of thousands who died, the many more whose lives were upended, and families displaced, because we lost the sight of the fact that we can only reach a higher state of equality and freedom by treating each other with love and respect, not tearing each other down. Truly taking this lesson to heart will bring the dawn of a new Liberia.
Massive change was also underway in South Africa after President Jacob Zuma announced his resignation live on television on Valentine's Day, stating irreconcilable differences with his party, the ANC. The country's parliament then elected Cyril Ramaphosa president. He will hold the position at least until next year's general elections. Here's Ace Magashule, Secretary General of the ANC, speaking at the time of the ruling.
The collective of the NEC believe that indeed, President Cyril Ramaphosa must take over the presidency in terms of our constitution. You can't then have another president who is not the president of the ANC. We engaged and we are looking forward to an amicable solution, and we will then see what President Zuma's response is. But it's obvious that we want Comrade Ramaphosa to come in as the President of South Africa.
Now, other than opening his own Twitter and Instagram accounts, Jacob Zuma also spent 2018 at the centre of an investigation which focuses on whether the controversial Gupta family and their associates illegally influenced political decisions taken by the former president and some officials to their financial benefit. That's something they all deny. In March, the second round of Sierra Leone's presidential elections put Julius Maada Bio against Samora Camara. Maada Bio went on to win.
I, Julius Maada Bio, do hereby in the name of God swear that I will at all times well and truly discharge the duties of the office of the President of the Republic of Sierra Leone, and that I we do right to all manners of people according to law without fear or favor, affection or ill will. So help me God.
In April, Chad adopted a new constitution that reinforced the presidential powers of Idriss Deby. The poll was boycotted by the opposition, who held 33 of the 170 seats in the National Assembly. In June, the Democratic Republic of Congo's former Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba, who'd been condemned to 18 years for war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Central African Republic, was acquitted by the International Criminal Court. Good news started to flow a little over the summer. At the beginning of July, Souad Abderrahim became the first woman to be elected mayor of Tunis. It was a huge victory for her party Ennahda, but also for women in Tunisian politics. Over in Equatorial Guinea, President Teodoro Obiang Nguema decided to grant amnesty to political prisoners and members of the opposition who were previously banned. But perhaps the biggest event in July was Eritrea and Ethiopia finally announcing the end of their 20-year-long conflict. The appointment in April of a new Ethiopian Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, was crucial as he offered to implement the UN's controversial ruling on the location of the border, which was one of the main areas of contention between the two countries. Goitan Gabriel Vell, a Cambridge fellow and political analyst on the Horn of Africa, told RFI how Eritrea based its identity on the struggle.
In Eritrea, it's everything. It's, you know, it's defined the political system there, the president justifies not implementing the constitution and banning all opposition, politics and free media on this Ethiopian threat. The indefinite and universal military conscription policy is justified by this war and by their Ethiopian threat. When it comes to Ethiopia, the impact of the war hasn't been that huge, and it hasn't really been a central part of Ethiopian political discourse for the past 10 years or so. Reactions have been mixed. Many are happy that we can potentially move on from this stalemate. Others are reluctant to embrace this because they consider Badim Ethiopian territory and they don't understand why so many lives were sacrificed if you were to accept the ruling, essentially.
Big changes were also underway further south in Zimbabwe, where the first elections without strongman Robert Mugabe took place. People were initially very hopeful. Mrs. Petros in Wesley was one of the voters who told RFI how excited she was to cast her ballot.
I feel so powerful. I feel that I can have a say in what I want to see in the country without any fear, without whatever, without being intimidated. I just casted my vote and it feels so good. I feel like screaming.
Emmerson Mnangagwa, a ZANU-PF, was elected with 50.8% of the vote. A result Nelson Chamisa's opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change, contested. Unrest in the following days led to 6 deaths. Chamisa expressed how disappointed he was by the post-election violence.
This is unacceptable. This is unnecessary. But this cannot be the behavior of a people who have won. It can only be a behavior of those who have lost. It is for this reason that we want to underscore that as an MDC alliance party, for the past 2-3 days, we have been subjected to all sorts of harassment, persecution, intimidation. In fact, just yesterday, our offices were invaded. The reason why probably they want to take information from us is because they wanted to try and destroy the evidence that we have in terms of our power of voter tabulation, which we have collected across the whole country. Unfortunately, we have our backups, so they did not take everything. I must also underscore that most of our leaders have been visited. Some have been threatened in the various provinces on account of them having participated in an election. We are not a militia. We are not a military organization. We are a democratic organization.
Come August, Côte d'Ivoire's President Alassane Ouattara granted amnesty to 800 people who were on remand or convicted in relation to the 2011 political crisis, the most prominent of which was former First Lady Simone Gbagbo. It marked a first major step to national reconciliation. Now, over in the DRC, Joseph Kabila announced he would not be running in the country's December 23rd presidential elections. In West Africa, Mali's Ibrahim Boubacar Keita was re-elected in the second round of the presidential elections with 67.2% of the vote.
This is a message to the government expressing what's exactly on the people's mind.
Uganda's former music star and opposition candidate Robert Kyagulanyi, a.k.a. Bobby Wine, got caught up in unrest which saw the presidential motorcade pelted with stones during a rally in the northern town of Arua. The outspoken critic of President Yoweri Museveni took to social media to allege police had intentionally shot his car and killed his driver. Bobby Wine was released in September and sought medical treatment in the US before returning to the East African country. Speaking earlier in the year to RFI about Uganda's clampdown on freedom of expression online, Wine was quick to point out that force was often the first means used by the authorities to repress voices of dissent.
The police in Uganda has degenerated from protecting life and property to a government machination of crushing voices of dissent. We wrote to the police, we informed the police that we are going to hold peaceful demonstrations, which are provided for in our constitution. But the police responded with violence and attacks and arrest of the peaceful demonstrators. They are not prepared to listen to any criticism, and they respond to every criticism with utmost violence and intimidation and terror.
In September, Rwanda's President Paul Kagame decided to free political opponents Victoire Ingabire and Kizito Mihigo, along with 2,000 other prisoners. Ingabire had been detained for terror-related charges and denying the extent of the 1994 genocide. She was acquitted in December, while Mihigo was arrested in 2014 for having released a song that criticized Rwandan authorities. In September, a tragedy struck a passenger ferry crossing Lake Victoria, MV Nyerere. It capsized, killing 228 passengers. President John Magufuli called for calm in the country, which has a history of deadly maritime disasters. Emmanuel Makundi from RFI's Kiswahili studios in Dar es Salaam explained why safety issues continue to plague Tanzania.
One of the major issues is that it has been that some of these ferries are too old to operate and they have been serviced time to time. And just recently, the two engines of the ferry which sank were changed. Another issue is that some are carrying more passengers than their allowed number. Some carries more cargo than their capacity. And this is just a reminder of 1996 MV Bukoba accident in the same Lake Victoria, where more than 900 people lost their lives. And remember also in 2011, MV Highlanders from Zanzibar to Nungwi sank, and more than 1,500 people lost their lives. So this is a kind of repetitive incidences, but the government says it is still investigating the matter and to go on top of the matter to find solutions for these accidents.
October saw the re-election of Paul Biya in the first round of Cameroon's elections, but this comes as the country has suffered severe unrest in Anglophone regions, where many feel neglected by the central government. These feelings, amongst others, led to the region of Ambazonias to self-proclaim its independence in the fall of 2017. Maurice Kamto, an opposition leader, rejected the election results.
We intend to stand by the side of Cameroonian people and defend together with them their victory. The Constitutional Council has refused to compare the results out of polling stations with those concocted in the offices of the ruling party. We will thereby use all legal means to restore the truth of the ballot box. I urge the Cameroonian people to remain mobilized and call upon their resolute resistance to abuse of power.
Achille Mbembe with Witwatersrand University in Johannesburg told RFI he believed Cameroon's opposition would have a lot to do in order to change the balance of power in the country that has had the same leader for 36 years.
Mr. Kamto and all the others very soon will have to face the tragic option of either going through it through violence or finding extremely creative ways of remobilizing the Cameroonian people. And this remobilization of the Cameroonian people won't happen in the absence of cross-ethnic large coalition. And this has been the weakness of the opposition. Unless it is addressed, we just have to wait for Mr. Paul Biya to peacefully die in power.
The Nobel Peace Prize was this year jointly awarded to Congolese gynecologist Denise Mukwege, who is known as Dr. Miracle for the reconstructive surgery he carries out on horrific damage inflicted on women who've been raped. In November, France's Emmanuel Macron announced that Paris would be handing back 26 art pieces to Benin that were taken during the colonial era in the 19th century. Within days, Senegal inaugurated a brand new Black Heritage Museum that is home to 18,000 artworks dating from as far back as 1,700 years ago, as well as contemporary pieces. And that's a roundup of the news in Africa in 2018. I say, we are fighting for freedom. Kampala Mokotumba de Jinja. We are fighting for freedom. Kabale Lukunjiri Malala Kasese. We are fighting for freedom. We are fighting for freedom. I say wakiso masaka bende mitiana. We are fighting for freedom. Yo, we are living in a time similar to the one of slave trade. This operation is worse than apartheid. The gun is the master, citizen slave. The ball of Africa is bleeding. Question. What was the purpose of the liberation when we can't have a peaceful transition? What is the purpose of the constitution when the government disrespect the constitution? Where
is my freedom of expression. When you charge me because of my expression, look what you're doing to this nation. What are you teaching the future generation? See our leaders become misleaders, and see our mentors become tormentors. Freedom fighters become dictators. They look on the youth and say we are distractors.
We are fighting for freedom.
Busi amalaba mutukula chotera.
We are fighting for freedom.
Nebi bakwa chimoroto chadundu.
We are fighting for freedom.
Badelma sindi kabunkara moja.
We are fighting for freedom.
Oi machiri andongo foti mundi bujo.
We are fighting for freedom.
Situke baboi, atuchi manyinti okununule nkwanga chituka katako fabana ba Uganda fena. Era manyati botunulire bichamu nosirikire yo bulide munsi yorukwe. Na fe abakulwanira kogwe nosirikira jolio vero tusatase. Jukira ntinewe bubera bumyunga bwakunganye engo bujitwala terinya. No matter your age, no matter your sex, no matter your religion, no matter your tribe, whether educated or uneducated, it's a revelation for the generation. Whether you are a doctor or a farmer, whether you are a teacher or policeman, could I be a tax driver or a student, could I be a lawyer, could I be a soldier?
We are fighting for freedom.
Pussy to give a boy, Timo Boa boy.
We are fighting for freedom.
Bana Uganda, Bali Kumawanga.
We are fighting for freedom.
Abana Babuda, Buda, Namu,
we are fighting for freedom.
Yes, man, like Martin Luther said, in the end, we remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.